Welcome to Special Stage. I'm Luke Whitten. This week on the podcast, we have a guest for you, Richie Dalton, an expat Irishman who's called Australia home for the last 20 years. He's competed all around Australia and has some great results to his name, including winning last year's New South Wales Rally Championship. He's entered in the Otago Rally in a Ford Escort RS1800 in early April, but he's got a bit of an injury. He talks all about that and his chances of competing in the event in a couple of months' time in New Zealand. We talk about his generosity in lending a Junior Cup winner his Toyota Yaris AP4, and we talk about a driver's progression from production cars to G4 to AP4 cars. It's an all-encompassing chat. So welcome in. Enjoy the chat with Richie Dalton. Welcome to the podcast, Richie Dalton. I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to chat. How are you?
Good, Luke. Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm on. How are you going?
Yeah, going well, thank you. It's been a decent off-season since November. It feels like it's a long time since we've done a rally, but have you been back to Ireland? Have you laid low with the family? What have you been doing over the break?
We didn't go back to Ireland. We're due to go back in June. I've actually had a decent time off work, actually. It's probably the longest in over the 20 years that I've lived in Australia. We had 3 weeks off for Christmas. It's just the way it fell with the dates and stuff. And when we're due to come back then, the rain hit. So it's kind of, it gave me a bit more time at home with the kids before I went back to school. So it was actually pretty good. It was a well-earned rest. So I did a lot of sleep to catch up on.
Yeah, definitely. When you're in that off-season mode and you're relaxing, do you still think about driving a rally car through a forest? Are you in that kind of frame of mind when you're sitting there doing nothing?
I used to be. Probably not as much now. I'm, you know, kind of stepping away from the top level of as such, and now it's a bit more just for enjoyment. I'm more or less now looking forward to the fact that, you know, you look at a calendar and a rally might suit you, and you just maybe chuck the escort on a trailer on a Friday evening and go to a rally and come back Saturday evening, you know, somewhere Oberon or Lick or somewhere that's close, you know, Orange.
So the first rally in your season is the Otago Rally, but there's some health issues that you've got that you're dealing with at the moment with your arm that first appeared really in November last year when you were doing the Rally of Canberra. Can you tell me a bit about that and sort of what the prospects are for the Otago Rally?
Yeah, so look, basically, I have been diagnosed with a condition called tendinosis, which is it's a tennis elbow for all the world, but it's a severe case of tendinitis. It's in my left elbow, and it's basically from repetitive use, but use with stress, with load all the time. So I'm left-handed, so it's obviously down for the year. It's no big secret that I do big hours and I work day and night and stuff. So just from tying down loads, ratcheting, constantly tying down machines, I wasn't really aware of such a condition. And I know the exact time and place where it was when it actually finally let go. I do get pains in it and stuff. And, you know, it's just from using it too much and it gets a bit sore. And then I go onto my right arm, and you know, because I'm left-handed. But I was above in the Twin Servers in Central Coast, and I was swapping over loads from a machine, and I was just lifting something heavy, and I got off one truck onto the other, and I got it up just over my waist, and when I went to do the upward movements, I just felt this click, and I kind of knew that I'd done cruciate ligaments in my knees when I was younger, so it felt the very same. So I thought it was actually maybe, so this is going to hurt in a couple of days, because with ligaments, and it's the same with tendons, it's not excruciating pain straight away. It's sore, but you know, and lo and behold, that's what happened. So I kind of managed it for the rest of November and December, knowing that I had a good 3 weeks of holidays in December, that was going to be my rest period to get back on track. And I left it as long as I could. And the last day before we're due to go back to work on the 8th of January, I had to go to the doctor because it didn't improve at all. So went through a series of scans and ultrasounds and stuff. And that's when I diagnosed it. I don't know if they can do much. I'm in physio, start taking injections, but it hasn't improved basically very, very slightly, if anything, since November. They did say it's on the higher scale of sensitivity, and maybe you know, 6 to 9 months of just progression that it might get some use through now, but it's not looking tremendously promising at the moment, which is it's very frustrating. But yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll keep plugging away at it.
The work that you'll be putting in clearly to try and get to the Otago Rally in a couple of months will be important. It's a big event, and it's one that you've done a couple of times. Lining up in an escort alongside Chris Meek would be pretty cool. So I'm sure as a fellow Irishman, you'd enjoy doing that.
Oh, look, it'd be awesome. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. My track record over in New Zealand isn't anything to write home about, to be honest. It's pretty abysmal. But I'd love to go over there in the escorts, and we'll have to wait and see. I've put the entry in. We're hopeful, but we'll just have to see how my arm goes. I needed to improve. I brought my own escort out to rally school last week just to see how it went. And I could manage the gear changes, which I was surprised. So push-pull is fine, anything lifting. But then when I was overextending with the steering wheel, I was in pain. So, yeah, I don't think it would lack the amount of kilometres you do in a tag over a couple of days, to be honest. So we'll just have to keep working on it.
Yeah, for sure. And Irishmen generally, I obviously mentioned Chris Meek before, a well-known rally lovers. I think it's not a national sport, but everybody loves it. When you talk to Irish people, they always mention rallying in some way, shape or form. When you were back there, did you compete, or was it only when you came to Australia that you got involved in the sport? Because it's a story that I don't know personally.
No, I didn't. I never competed. I've actually never done a tarmac. I've done is any of the specials we did in the ARC. So even though predominantly Irish rallying is tarmac. So my first taste of rallying driving wise was obviously over in Australia. Mm-hmm. I've been going to rallies all my life. My mum and dad used to bring me from a very young age. Like, my first memory is it was 1986. The Group B cars were doing the Circuit of Ireland about a kilometre from the back of my house, and going watching them on the side of the pitch. And we had amazing. I think Michel Mouton was there in the Quattro, and a couple of Metro 6 or 4s, and I was like, whoa. And it was, I'm like 4 years of age, but that's my first memory of rallying. And yeah, we followed it. Our whole family were big Jimmy McRae fans, even before Colin. He won the Circuit of Ireland 7 times, and then there was a gap of maybe 1 year when Jimmy last won in 89 to Colin won 2 years to Colin won in 91. So we've kind of followed the McRae family from a very young age. So it's it's in the blood. My dad's a navigator as well, so we used to be. He's retired. So.
Yeah, very cool. And what makes the community so special? Because there's so many Irish people here that are rally people. Yes, we've got the general rallying community, which is great. But when you talk about the Irish community in rallying, it seems a bit different and maybe a little bit more special than what just the general rallying community is. Do you know why that might be, or do you sort of think of that in a different way?
I think rallying is definitely very popular in Ireland, and well, from where I've come from, and my outlook on it is, you know, rallying was part of my life, you know. So, but it seems to be very popular. It's a bit, obviously, being a smaller country, and you know, the events, there's a lot more events on, and out here it's a bit different. It's such a vast, vast country, and you know, the people here that are into rallying do love the rallying and spend a lot of efforts, and you know, when you're talking volunteers and stuff, and you know, they love rallying as much as the Irish. But it just, I think, the fact that it's a smaller country, and yeah. But there's a lot of Irish out here now. If they don't own an escort or building one, or they're just, you know, they love the rallying too. So it's great to see. It's a lot more popular, I think, now than say when I started here in 2006. I was navigating for Charlie Drake, and we didn't know any other Irish people. We were the first that I knew of. You know, I think beforehand, back in the day, Aidan Calvi used to rally an escort against John Mitchell and stuff. But yeah, but now there's Irish competitors everywhere, and it's absolutely fantastic to see.
Yeah, it sure is. It adds to the numbers, and it adds a great flavour to it, as you've done to the ARC over the past couple of years. The colour green spread everywhere in a lot of different ways, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I it's been said before that I think green is it's a very photogenic colour. You know, Aaron Wishart has mentioned plenty of times that it's just so easy to photograph, and it stands out, and it's good. It represents me and Shamrock and the green and the whole Irish team. So it's it, it it comes off quite well, I think.
The car that Aaron Wishart would have photographed probably the most of yours is the Yaris AP4 that you've driven over the last couple of years in the ARC. You won the New South Wales state title last year after missing the first round, which was quite a good effort. So to do that and to win a state title must have been really, really satisfying, particularly in a year that started difficult for you guys and for the Irish community generally.
Yeah, look, it was a completely unplanned year, but a fantastic year. And again, I'd just like to thank the whole Neil Bates Motorsport team. You know, they got obviously a very busy program with running two cars for the ARC and their 86 series. And there was no plan. I was retired, and that's why we didn't do the first round of the championship, which was at New South Wales. Our plan was to do Rally de Bay, and that was it. It just happened to be the second round. And when we won it, that rally, I did ask Lewis and Sam, who were servicing me to be, if I wanted to do a few more rounds in the New South Wales calendar, would it work? Would it be clashes with the 86 series and stuff? And they said that probably not, but they'd have a look and let me know. And I think Lewis got back to me the day after and said, if you want to go for it, we're in. You know, they love coming to the rallies as well. You know, get away from workshops and something different. And we had a ball all year. And
yeah,
it was fantastic. But it came about accidentally. I think the second rally after that was Bathurst, which hadn't been run in a long time. And
yes,
I was asked what I had to do it, and I was told it was pace noted because obviously I'm not a fan. I had no experience with blind rallies, so I entered it, and then I think in the 11th hour it was pulled from pace notes. Back to roadbook, something to do with the local residents weren't overly happy about maybe doing multiple trips on the roads for recce and stuff, which is understandable. So I was basically by default I was ended up doing a blind rally, which I was completely on my comfort zone, you know, and especially in a car like that, you know, that's probably not the most ideal way to learn blind rallying. But you know, I got a third out of that, and I was really, really happy with that, you know, because I had to pick up so much. But I had Dale beside me, who like really taught me a lot, you know. We learned so much in a rally, and to go down to Bega then and the following rally, just a bit more confidence, but still very not that I hadn't changed my opinion of blind rallying, but I still found it very, very unnerving and just so stressful. You know, you're taking chances that you don't have to take chances, but you're just, sometimes you feel you're led into a false sense of security. Oh, I could have went around there faster. I could have went over there faster. And that's where you get drawn in. So you, I think you have to have a mature head. And but I think that's probably the biggest thing I was most proud of is the two podiums out of the two blind rallies done this year. So,
yeah, definitely. And to finish the year with the Rally of Canberra, one that you know well and have competed on a number of times, was a good way to finish. And to do it on the first day was really good, because then on the Sunday, as you were part of the ARC component of the event as well, you were able to sort of unleash a bit more speed and be able to drive a bit faster on that day, knowing that you had clinched the title, that thing that you'd gone to the rally to want to do.
It surprised me. I didn't think it would affect me as much as it did. But
really, yeah.
Knowing that I had, you know, I think the lead just basically to drive to the stage, I think about to come in the top, I don't know, three or five for both heats, it was enough. But I think after the first couple of stages, I could have been down to fifth already. I was just driving. You're just being too careful. And then, obviously, when you're trying to be safe and you're not you're making mistakes, but you're not committed to bends and the car isn't working properly because you need to drive the car. So I found it difficult. I had numerous spins in the first. I think I had three spins on one stage. Just really out of character. And I was getting frustrated. Dale was just telling me to keep calm and just to relax, and you know, I'm overthinking and stuff, which I was, you know. But I think once we had wrapped it up on the Saturday, it just the stress and the relief of pressure off my shoulders was incredible. And you're not, then Sunday was just for fun, and you're carrying way more speed, and you're not thinking of going off or crashing, or you know, it's just more natural and very enjoyable and a great way to finish off the year, and especially to be part of that power stage at the end and watch Harry and Neil and Lewis fight it out. Like, it was, I've never witnessed anything as it.
Yeah.
And like nerve wracking and exciting. And like, what a finale, what a finish it was. And it was great to be there when it's the first time.
I don't think anybody who was at that stop line will forget that, because just the nerves, you could just tell that clearly something was going to happen and they were going to be crown champion, whoever it was. But the way everybody was walking around nervously, they were checking times, listening over to Dean Herridge, who was commentating there, obviously, by the podium. So you could listen to the commentary and formulate in your head what was going to happen before it did happen. And when it all did happen, it was, yeah, just an amazing way to finish, wasn't it? Because, yeah, how do you script that kind of thing? You just can't.
No, look, it was, I can't describe it. It was unbelievable. And even when we were sitting at the, on the seat from the podium for the power stage, we're supposed to sit there with live TV, but over our shoulder was Jeff and Dino, and they were obviously getting the live timings coming in. So we were kind of getting off our seats, running over, looking at the times and the splits, and it was incredible. It was really, really a great finish to an unbelievable championship. So it was great to be part of it and to see it firsthand.
More of the same this year, we hope. Your Yaris is being tested in a couple of weeks, but it won't be by you. Josh Wiedemann, who was the Junior Cup winner, as part of his prize, as you promised, as sponsor of that Junior Cup series, he's going to test your Toyota Yaris AP4. Where's that going to happen? When's it going to happen? Are you nervous about the car being driven?
Look, I think Josh has plenty of experience, and he's a lot more experienced than people realise and all.
For sure.
He's plenty of four-wheel drive cars before and stuff, and he's incredibly fast for and has driven a great variety and deal of cars. So am I nervous? No, I'd probably be nervous if I was sitting in the car, but I'm not. So that's Dale. Dale is going to go down and sit with him. So it's in Waimira, which is a test that I've done a couple of times before with the New Base Motorsport team. It is a slippy stage, sandstone base, and it can't catch him out. But he'll have a great tutor in Dale, and keen to look at his times and how he goes. I think actually he'll pick it up very quickly, to be honest. And I'm excited for him to witness the top level cars now. Seeing that my car is probably getting a little bit long in the tooth now, technology wise and stuff, to be fighting at the front pointy end of it, but it's still a very, very good car, and I just love driving it. And now he will be amazed by just the braking and just the response to the steering. I'm looking forward to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's a fine gesture. And when you talk about moving up into that Yaris AP4, you did the step from the Lancer to the Ford Fiesta car that you ran in New Zealand and then came back over here to Australia. Then going to the Yaris, what are some of the things that he's going to have to learn, first of all, trying to drive that car?
Look, the car is just... It's hand-built, it's purposely built to rally, whereas Fiesta, it was a proto car. We did develop it into a very good car in the end, but it was a process, and because there wasn't any examples around before, we were kind of going into the unknown to develop and stuff. But I found that the biggest thing was obviously the difference in the weight with the Fiesta. I could struggle to get my braking right in it because the car was so heavy. And I remember jumping into the Skoda the time I did Rally Australia, and first bend, like, wow, the brakes were unreal, but you knew your braking points. And it was the same when I got into the Yaris. The steering, the response from the steering, the feedback to get back from it, and your braking. So I think he'll pick that up pretty quickly. He'll just go off. It's completely different than a production car, and you'll just be amazed by how late you can brake because the car is lighter and how responsive it is, and just the feedback you get back from the steering. And once you get used to that, you get more confident, and you'll know you can be more aggressive with it, and the car just works. It's an incredible car.
It's a prize drive, clearly, that he's got there to drive that car in a couple of weeks' time. But generally speaking, how do we make it easier for guys to get up to that level? I know there's money involved and all that kind of stuff, and either hiring a car or buying a car like that outright. But is there a step that you think that might be an easy thing for people to move up into a G4 car or a similar spec car to be able to, say, move away from the Subarus and the Mitsubishis that we've driven for 20 years, like you did to start your career?
Yeah, look, it's not easy.
It's a very hard question, but I think we're yet to answer, aren't we?
I don't know. There's so many different ways. That Evo we had in 2014 when we did the championship in it, I think we put a brand new crate engine in it, and it was like $6,000. We put head studs in it, and that was it. And they were non-restricted, and we ran it on a Cheetah race fuel, still 98 pump fuel. And, you know, it was a cheap enough car to run. Cars were cheap. Saying that, the G4 Fiesta I built was pretty expensive to build, but the running costs were cheaper, you know. Yep. So I think a stepping stone is probably the way I've gone, is maybe go from a production to a G4, which, you know, I think Justin Dowell is selling one of the Mirages there now for like $130,000, which is, you know, you're going to pay that and more for a good Group N car, a good spec. I'd imagine Molly's car is worth that and more, and the same with Taylor Gill's. You know, they're up all up around there, but the G4s are definitely cheaper to run than the AP4s. But again, I think another stepping stone then from the G4 is up to AP4. Just not so much when you look at on stage times and stuff, but just from the feel of a car, they're different. The feel different, the drive different. But stage times, they're pretty. Pretty similar. I just found with my G4 that when you were driving on the limit, I found out in the year I actually did Rally de Bay against Harry and Lewis, and I crashed the car. I found the stage before was a longer stage, that you're working the car to the limits as long as you do. I found the active discs were going off, just overheating, because at the end of the day, they're just production based things, you know. So stuff like that. I know, look, what your AP4s are. They're a lot diff. They're not active diffs. It's a different setup. But I think for basic feel wise, it's a step up from the G4 to AP4. But performance wise and time stages, there wasn't a lot in it, you know.
Yeah, and there's more and more G4s popping up over the country. People are building their own ones, not necessarily buying ones from Active Rally Sport or buying the shells that have come from Poland of previously. So the numbers are growing, and people are being able to develop them better and better as the years go on, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I think you only have to look at the Rally of Canberra. In November, Mick Patton brought out his Fiesta and was doing cracking stage times in it. And he was second or third in the state championship on stage. And I think only for, you know, mechanical writing, maybe the last stage, or the second last stage, he would have had done a really good event. So, and like, he just built that himself in their own workshop down at SAS. So, it's definitely the way forward to go. Obviously, with the Subarus and Evos, they're harder to come by parts and spares and stuff, you know. So we need to move on. But as we move on, you know, the top level moves on as well with technology, but so does the budgets too. So it's rallying is always going to be expensive. It's the nature of the beast.
It's the way it is, yeah. I've gone all this time without asking you whether you'll be driving your Yaris this year. I know it obviously depends on your left arm and all that kind of stuff with your recovery on that, but do you think you'll drive it maybe at Batemans Bay, which is, I think, your favourite event?
Yeah, I do have plans to do the Bay this year. In what, I don't know. I do need to get a bit more seat time in the Escort. I'm just a novice to it. When we went to rally school last week, Sean McAloon was looking after the car for me, and he came up with me, and obviously everyone knows how Sean is in a Mark II. So he went out. I was going around for a while, thought I was doing pretty good. And I said, get into it, and just, I want to know what you feel. Is it set up right? Do I just finally need to learn with the way it's set up, or it's way off the mark? So, and I watched him get in my car and go, wow, I've a long, long way to go. He just grabbed it by his neck and just basically just drilled that thing around the course for the laps, and but his feedback is good. The car was good, and it is set up pretty good. So it's going to be very aggressive on those things too, and give me pointers how to drive and stuff. But man, he can drive an Escort, that's for sure.
He sure can. He's had a lot of experience in it, as you're yet to have, unfortunately. But you can hang the tail out sideways and do all of that when you pick it up as the year goes on, won't you?
That's it. Yeah. Oh, look. Sideways looks good, but it's not fast. But
that's true. But you're an Irishman. You've got to be in an Escort at some point, don't you?
Yeah, look, exactly. And now, look, you're not going, for me, an Escort is not going winning trophies as such. It's just going out to enjoy it and have fun and have no pressure and fighting for tenths of seconds and you know, taking risks with staying on the road and coming off the road and doing damage. Now it's just purely just for the enjoyment of it. And every Irishman wants to own an escort, I think.
Yeah. And if you're not enjoying your motorsport, what are you doing it for? That's really a thing, isn't it? You've got to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. That look, apart from work, that is that's my escape. That's what I do, and it's what you work hard for, your family and stuff, but also to have a bit of time for, you know, whatever your hobby is, you know.
Mm. Absolutely. Richie, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you coming on and looking forward to seeing you at the Otago Rally in a couple of months' time and hopefully some more times as the season goes on. Thanks.
No worries, Luke. Thanks very much. See ya.